You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, is it an all-clear signal that everything's going to be great on Wall Street with the election of Donald Trump? And how does this fit in with your scenario about the big bubble of everything?
Well, no, I don't think everything's going to be okay. I understand the optimism, but I think this is a sign of I think the final push into a major top. You know, we've been talking about this bubble forever. But no, I don't think Donald Trump is going to be able to save or change the cyclical setup of where we are now. And what I mean by that is we're at an opposite end. You know, everybody looks back. I heard it, you know, from people, you know, neighbors and just being around and going to the gym and just, you know, it seems to be common thinking. And people look back at the last Trump administration and they automatically think that, well, we're going to see the same thing this time. And so I understand the optimism. But when you look at the reality with the cycles, you know, we've talked about this long-term economic cycles and how this last cycle was born out of the 2002 low and how they, you know, we saw the first attempted downturn in 2007, which resulted in the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression, et cetera, et cetera. And then they did the things they did, pushed it into the 2020 top, and then we had the COVID, spending spree, if you will. We saw the greatest increase of debt in history under the Trump administration alone, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just stating the facts. It's a mathematical fact. The federal debt increased at a greater rate than the previous two administrations combined, and that was a result of the COVID, you know, that was following the COVID decline in his last year. And again, that was all in an effort to reinflate. And then, of course, the Biden administration has continued that. But the difference here is that in 2016, we were coming off of a 7-year run of low rates, and we had all the QE, and we'd had, you know, all everything, you know, the wind at our back, if you will, on the reinflation. And the cycle was moving up. We were moving into a rate hiking cycle, and there was a natural reinflation, if you will. And of course, it was by and large fueled on the optimism of the election. But it, you know, we got the result that we got, or he got the result that he got, however you want to say it. You know, and you know, a lot of the claims with the jobs were, you know, not exactly true, but nonetheless, the market rallied, and it was because of where we were, you know, within the cyclical picture. And then we got the COVID crash, and then the reinflation efforts coming out of the COVID crash, and now that's all run its course. And here we sit at the opposite end of the spectrum cyclically of where we were in 2016. So yes, I mean, we're at all-time highs, or virtually at all-time highs. The market's up over 500 points as we speak, and we had the all-time high lesson, well, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And so, you know, optimism with the Trump election is obviously high, but like I said, I think this is a sign of the times, and that we are seeing what I believe to be the final push into a major top. With that said, of course, I need to see the structure. I need to see everything fall in place. I need to see, I need to see the trigger in my work, which at this time I don't have. So that's pretty much the summary. But no, I don't think all is well. It changes nothing. It's still the same bubble, and we're in a position now for the top in the making.
Now, people like Warren Buffett have record amounts of cash standing by. He's made his fortune by waiting for market collapses and then buying all the decent stuff at a very favorable rate. Is that what we should be doing right now? Take your cash out now and wait for that?
Well, I'm not giving specific advice, but yes, I think the sidelines is personally. I believe the sidelines is the place to be. I mean, this is this rally. When you stand back and look at a chart, you know, the cyclical structure and all the details aside, I mean, it's just been a parabolic push, and that is certainly not sustainable. But the danger is that it's not just a correction. The danger that people don't understand, they don't see, is that this is going to be the third attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle, every one of which has been saved by increased spending, and it made the bubble bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and now here we sit. And I think that rather than Trump being the savior, he's going to be left holding the bag with this thing. Who knows where we go with that? I mean, is this the point where they, do the something crazy with the system with digital currency? I mean, I don't know. I don't know where this goes, but I know that this is an extreme, it's clear to me where we are.
Right. There's talk of involving Bitcoin in the U.S. reserves. Is that a good move, or do we have enough info on it to make an informed comment?
I don't have enough info on that to make an informed comment. I mean, it may be noise. I mean, I don't trust anything that they say. I don't know. I don't know if he's legit in his comments about that, or if that's just noise. I have no idea.
Gold, is it going to be a safe haven?
Gold, we have an intermediate degree top in gold. We have a short-term low, so we're seeing a counter-trend bounce in regard to that intermediate-term top. And this short-term bounce is obviously a test of that higher degree top. Let's back up a few steps. Gold has been going up because of the inflation and this entire, advance out of the COVID low has obviously been inflationary, and gold has gone up in sympathy with that. Now we sit at a top in gold, and that top is an opportunity for a higher degree top to take hold. And it all comes down to, does this inflationary or deflationary setup bite? And if it does, my argument with gold is that, it's gone up because of the inflation. I don't think anybody will argue that. So if we get to the point where their efforts fail and we start to see the deflation bite, then my belief is that gold is going to suffer the same fate as most all other asset classes that will go down together in the deflationary decline. So while at this time, like I said, we have an intermediate term top, the 9-year cycle advance is still thus far intact, and we have a counter trend rally, but we're at a point where we're testing those higher degree tops, and depending on what the structure, what comes of this test, then we may be in a position to have a higher degree top. At this point, I don't know, other than that we have an intermediate degree top in gold.
We'll have more with Tim, Cycles Man Wood, right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, are interest rates going to continue to come down, or will they hold the line, fearing inflation is going to fire up again?
No, interest rates are going down. We've talked about this, but I have to, I have to digress, and maybe there's new listeners, but that this interest rate hiking cycle, Jim, it's a fascinating thing. Coming out of the 2022 low, this interest rate hiking cycle was literally forced, and I can prove it. There are triggers that with my model that, you know, every time they have fired, it has been in association with a top in interest rates. And it began firing before they ever even raised the first time. And you say, well, maybe your model's broken. But, you know, I that's a bold statement looking back at, you know, at interest rates, you know, in history going back into the 40s. I don't think the model is broken at all. It was telling us that they never should have raised. It was telling us that this was a fabricated rate hiking cycle as part of the I don't know what you want to call it, scheme, if you will, to reinflate coming out of the COVID lows. And you know, the inflation, it stemmed from you know, the supply chain induced shortages, et cetera, and then they started pushing that we have to raise rates to fight the inflation. Well, you can raise rates all you want, but you're not fighting inflation when you can't get something because a supply chain issue. So it didn't make sense in the first place if someone thought about it. But anyway, that said, the same model told me down to the week, I posted it in my short-term updates, that I knew that, well, first of all, I knew that the model had said that finally we had gotten to a point where we should have peaked back in July of 23. That should have been the last hike, and it was, but then we went through the plateau period, one of the longest plateau periods in the history of the rate cutting and hiking cycles going back into the 40s. And then we finally got the model told me we were close. I knew it wasn't perfect, but we were so close. I said, yes, I think they're going to cut in that September meeting. They did. And it was, but it was, when I said it was close, it was. I mean, we were close, but it was, in one respect, it was an unprecedented cut because we weren't quite there yet. But like I said, given that the meeting was coming, long story short, I'm rambling here, but I mean, we were so close, I felt like the cut was inevitable is what I'm trying to say, even though it wasn't, you know, we wasn't quite dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. This last cut that we saw, it came, it was also unprecedented in the sense that I know that we're in the rate cutting cycle, but there's some parameters I look at that told me that, you know, they probably shouldn't have cut yet. But they did. And so what we're seeing now is an aggressive stance toward the rate cutting cycle. Just like we saw an aggressive stance, you know, pushing rates higher, now we're seeing the same stance pushing rates lower. And the rate cutting cycle is definitely underway. We have indeed seen a bounce. The longer end has bounced more so than the short end since about, you know, September-ish, depending on which maturity you're looking at. But I think these bounces that we're seeing are counter trend, and that their overall direction for rates is indeed down. And what we're seeing is equities make their final push in sympathy with this rate cutting cycle, thinking that it's a positive thing.
Well, our market historian Bob Hoy has pointed out, since the Federal Reserve was created on Jekyll Island, there have been 18 recessions and depressions, and the whole idea of having the Fed was to prevent recessions and depressions. Is it time to reinvent that or just get rid of it?
You mean the Fed?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's never going to happen. It's just that's fantasy. I don't disagree with your statement, but it's not going to happen. And if you look back, give you an example. If you look back, a few people know this because they don't know the market history, but there was a little deflationary hiccup in 1921, you know, following the First World War. At that point, we had the Fed, you know, they came into existence in 1913, so they were in place. And, as a result of that, little, you know, deflationary downturn in 1921, they eased monetary policy and created an environment to push, literally, that pushed, let's call it what it is, manipulation. They pushed or created the environment to fuel, is maybe a better word, equities higher into the 29 top, and created, in effect, that crash. So that's a micro scale now compared to, or, you know, to where we are now. That this entire run since the 2002 low has been based on the same sort of monetary policy. You know, I have said for years that the 2002 top was the natural top of the market based on a number of things, job participation and velocity of money and all kinds of things. But, you know, as we came out of that 2002 low, or found that 2002 low, they began to, again, create that environment of liquidity to push the market higher, push the market higher. And in doing so, they created, you know, or pushed, fueled, let's say, a better way to say it, the markets into the 2007 high. But then that culminated in the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And then coming out of the 2009 low, what do they do? More of the same. And pushed at that time into the 2020 top. And then what do? Like I said earlier, from coming from that low, we saw the greatest spending spree. People say it, call it printing money, but it's not, I argue it's not printing money, it's printing debt. We saw the greatest increase in federal debt in history between, you know, during the Trump administration as a result of the COVID war, if you will. A lot of people call it the COVID war. I tend to agree with that. But anyway, and now here we are. So each one of these, what I'm saying is each one of these downturns has been met by more and more and more of the same policy that created the problem in the first place, just like was the case in 1921 that pushed market into the 29 top, and now here we sit. And so nothing has changed. It's just a bigger bubble.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, that's pretty much it. I think interest rates are key here, and you know, the structure of the market. And anyone interested in you know, following this, I am covering it in great detail in the newsletters at Cycles News and Views.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.